Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and you better believe I'm wearing my new blue glasses. Come off it. With me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing
today? Now, we have a bet about these glasses.
We have a bit of a bet.
And it's that if they break,
I owe you $100 within the year.
If they break within the year, you owe me $100 in cash.
Yeah, because I'm really clumsy. I break all my glasses. And this is the pair, although they're the most delicate pair I've had, this is the pair that makes it. This I promise you.
Because you also have a pair that looks exactly like that, but they're red.
Yes. And those two will survive.
Okay. do you want to place a bet on the red ones?
Yes, $1,000.
Okay.
Okay, so we're up to $1,100 in terms of betting. Norm, how are you feeling today?
Doing okay. I was a bit tired this morning. I've been a little depressed. So I've been wanting to sleep and do nothing because I have no reason to wake up, to be honest with you.
So we're going to say that's pandemic related, pandemic depressed.
Yeah, it's got to be pandemic related. Well, everything in the world that's in general right now is in some way pandemic related, but the boredom and the depression probably is very specific pandemic related.
I think the problem with pandemic press, which is a shorter name for pandemic depression, I think the problem with it is that there's nothing we can necessarily do to stop the external, obviously. And it's really hard to just tell yourself to be positive. You know, you'll hear that where it's like positive thinking, but what am I supposed to do? Like wake up and be like, my life's great. I'm not saying there's not great things in it, but I don't want to lie. Yeah, I don't want to lie to myself. I don't want to be negative, but I don't want to lie to myself. I want to be like realistically optimistic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and everyone's like, well, don't complain about these little things that are problems that you want that is not normal now. And it's like, yeah, I do want to go to a bar and have a beer.
Yeah. Also, like, I came here to complain. Get a life, everybody. I'll say whatever I want.
Complaining is basically everything always.
Let's say three complaints each right now. Let's get it off our chest.
Okay. I'm tired of the idea of dinner.
I'm tired of the dog bugging me.
We have our fingers up.
We have our fingers up. We're counting.
The glasses bet has me nervous.
I hate that I cut off all the tags of my pants and then have a hole in my butt, but if I leave the tag, it's going to itch me, so I don't have a choice.
It's weird that I have a Nintendo Switch and I literally have not played it once this entire pandemic.
I need a new face. I'm glad that we got all of that off our chest. I'm feeling a lot better now. I'm honestly feeling a lot better now.
Yeah, they were all dumb.
Not even going to ask what your number is on a scale of 1 to 10 for self-esteem because it's probably a 10 after that vent session.
I think I was at a 3 and I'm probably at a 4.
Wow. Wow. So a bit off from the 10.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'm a 5.
You know what? No, I think you be whatever you need to be. And listen, it's understandable. And that's for everybody. Guys, it's okay to be bummed.
Yeah.
Pandemic aside, pandemic press aside, it's okay to be bummed. It's like it happens. And Pat and I get into it. Pat Thornton, our guest today, we get into it.
I like Pat.
I love Pat. We had such a good time chatting. But we get into it a little bit more. But it's like, you know, you just got to give yourself permission to feel what you need to feel. Really, the only way out of it is through it. Yeah. Write it out. I don't know another way out.
I had a really bad week too. So, and sometimes you just have bad weeks. You know?
Yeah. And that's okay.
And it wasn't kind of, it was family related.
Yes.
So it was kind of out of my hands.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what the fuck am I going to do? I guess I'm just going to be fucking pissed and bummed.
Yeah. And that you had every right to be. It was a really bad week. It really was.
We won't get into details right now, but
we will.
Eventually we will.
Starting now.
My Nintendo Switch. I'm not playing it.
Yeah, like your biggest problem with your family is in regards to the Nintendo Switch. Yeah. I think we can both agree on that.
Come on, guys. Let's play Animal Crossing. I don't even have the game.
Come on, everybody. Yeah, good episode. We have a couple bits of business. We have a big announcement coming.
Get out of here.
For next week. Yes, guests we're very excited about, and a big announcement coming. I will tell you guys next week. But let's just say we've partnered with a really cool company, and we're very excited about it.
You don't want me to spoil it as a joke?
Should you?
Yeah, it's a Sonar Network.
Okay, we've... So starting next week, we will be available on the Sonar Network. We are very excited about this. You guys will see all the promo. You'll get the redirect of where to get the podcast. It'll be everywhere. Same thing. Yeah, exactly. But we're up on the site. The page looks really cool. So I do want everyone to go check it out. So that'll be next week.
The listener doesn't have to do any work. They're fine.
They can go check out the page.
Okay, fine.
As I have made mandatory.
You don't have to do it.
Guys, if you're not checking out the page, stop listening, okay? Because we're going to do Q&As about the page, and we hope everybody has the answers.
I feel like I sounded dumb this entire intro now, too, because I'm just like, I don't know. What's even going on in my brain?
What should we do? Should we re-record or should we publish this?
Let's publish it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our guest, Pat Thornton. It's a self-esteem party. Pat, welcome to what some people are calling a guaranteed fame launcher of a podcast. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and how are you feeling, like, knowing that you're going to become famous from being on the podcast? Like, does that make you feel excited, or are you feeling like, well, let's wait and see if she follows through?
Well, I got to say, you know, it's been a hard pandemic for everybody, and I could really use to just be famous now.
Okay, so now is the time. Okay, previous to the, yeah, okay. I guess I was just confused about the time. So previous to the pandemic, we were okay as is, not a problem. Now that it's been a year in, we're coming up on the anniversary. You're going, actually, you know what? Now is the time.
Now's the time. Get me famous. Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, for all the listeners out there, if you can get Pat famous, please tweet at us at Self-Esteem Party, hashtag I've got the goods. And we'll see how that unfolds. And Pat, I'll keep you posted. But, you know, we usually post this around midday. So, I don't know, expect a call from SNL. What are we saying? 3 p.m., 4 p.m. Eastern time?
Yeah, I'll try to be around.
Okay. Not really sure about that one either. Yeah, I'll try. I'm sorry. Do you, like, what exactly is requiring your effort to try to be around?
I'm going to try to be around.
Okay, we'll see. That's where I'm at. You know what I like about you, Pat? You've never made a promise you can't keep, because you just don't make the promise.
I won't make the promise, no.
Just so people know, it's not happening. Okay, great. So, Pat, on this podcast, the only thing I ever consistently do is a self-esteem party check-in. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how you feeling in terms of self-esteem today, recently, last little bit? How you feeling about yourself here? And then I'll give you my number two. Well, I'll do it too.
As we discussed, I broke a tooth right before we recorded.
And guys, for real, like 10 minutes. Yeah, like 10 minutes ago. For real, he did. Like, dramatically so.
So, that's got me a little low. I'm not going to lie. That's got me a little low. I'd say, maybe hitting a 5 today.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good, pretty good. self-esteem in general is something that I struggle with, but I'm a new dad, and so it fluctuates like crazy. When I feel, when I'm, like, spending time with my little baby Larry, I'm riding at a 10.
Yeah.
Like, it's just great. It's just great. Like, we did that. He's so good. You
He's
know what
so
I mean?
Cute.
Like, and also, like, when you're being a dad, then you're not like, I should be working right now.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, like, it is work. Like,
yeah. Or what should I be doing for my career? Or when is somebody going to call? Like, what's going to happen?
Okay,
like,
well, I told you tomorrow around 3 or 4 p.m. and you said you'd only try to be around. So,
and I said I would try to be around.
I'm going to, like, cackle through this. I'm going to, like, break my microphone. Okay, so, but yes, not worrying about career as in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's been really refreshing throughout the pandemic, is to have a baby, because what a nutso time. But he sort of gave us structure and gave us life and
yeah,
and all of that stuff. But it, so I would say that I bounce every day between mm-hmm. like a 4 and a 10.
Yeah, yeah. That I listen, yeah. Pat. That's a lot of people on this podcast. It's a yeah. lot of bounce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I think like. What okay, so I would say I have not broken anything yet. It's still early. We are on the West Coast. I have not broken anything yet. So I would say today I'm actually at a bit of a 7 because I had a bunch of stuff to do today and I didn't want to do any of it and I pushed through. So you know when you're like, yeah, I'm strong and I won't be defeated and I'm having one of the, and when I say stuff to do, I mean like UPS. I'm not like Pat. Ooh, maybe I can make a call. Maybe I can't. Okay. I'm going to the UPS. I'm coming home. I'm waiting to do the podcast. You're breaking teeth to get out of it. Well, not on my watch. I can tell you guys that much. You're going to be a guest on this podcast. You're going to do the podcast. It's as simple as that. Okay. So I accept your 5. The career stuff. So I feel like, I don't know if you're having this at all. You and I are a lot alike when it comes to career. We're very intense. We're very hard on ourselves. That's a big Pat mm-hmm. problem. You're very mm-hmm. hard on yourself. And you've had, and it's hard because have you had immense success because you've been hard on yourself or in spite of being hard on yourself, right? It's like, sometimes yeah. it's hard to decide which, and then you're like, yeah, but when I am hard on myself, look at all the stuff I got. But then you're like, would I have gotten that if I was also nice to me? Right?
It's hard to say. I tweeted the other day that the way I describe my career is chaos magic. And I kind of feel that way, that like I like have done a lot of stuff and I can't explain it. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how I did that. You know, like I'm a really like shy fat guy from Mississauga who like I come from a very abusive place.
Yeah.
We get honest on this show.
We do.
And I feel like, I feel like I have a real hard time being present. And when anything good is happening and then after, like, I'm like, whoa, I did that.
Yeah.
Like, I did it? That was me that did that? I see things that I've done or whatever, and it just feels like it's a different person sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's strange. Yeah.
I have the perfect example of that with you. So when you had your first show, Hotbox, that was your show mm-hmm. In Canada, and I remember you hadn't like got paid for the writing yet or whatever, right? And so everything came in one big check. And it was like I won't say the amount, but it was a big check. And I remember you texted me and you were like, I don't even know what to do about this. Like, it was like, you couldn't accept that you worked hard and then got paid accordingly for the work you had already done. Like, you were acting like someone just gave you the money. And it was like, no, dude, you worked hard and you earned that money. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but... Do you find this about this career that there's like just any money that you do make, any success that you do find, there's like a tinge of guilt, like it's like it's bullshit,
Oh yeah, I essentially
because everybody thinks they can do it or something.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I essentially lied all the way to the bank. I mean, listen to the people out there, to the people out there giving me jobs. Are you out of your fucking mind? What is wrong with you guys? You're calling Pat at God knows what hour. You're giving me jobs. Stop it, please. Yes, I do find that. And I love that chaos magic that you said, because I feel a lot of the same thing. And it bleeds into my real life too. And maybe you have this where I'm like, how did I get here? Like I'll be on set and I'm like, how did I get here? I'll look around. There's like you guys had a baby. I got a dog, same thing. And I'll look at this dog and I'll be like, what, how did this happen? Like I find I'm just what is that movie? The Butterfly Effect. And he blacks out and then wakes up and he's like, what? And I feel like that's what's happening. I'm butterfly affecting my comedy career. I feel like that's what's happening to me. It feels like I can't recreate what I did. Like our show, for example. So we, for the listeners and the viewers, if you're in the peeping Tom in the old window here, Pat and I had sold a show in Canada as a show. So your second show that you had sold, and we sold the show. We got to make a pilot. Very exciting. A miracle to get that far in anything. My God. And I've learned that the hard way afterwards to be like, oh yeah, I struck gold with this awesome project with this awesome person. And I've worked with a lot of people who I've really enjoyed, but I'm like, I can't get that exact mix to happen again. Mm-hmm. I can't seem to put the right people together. I can't seem to strike gold again. I can't seem, and it's like, but other things have happened, great, incredible things, but it's as if I didn't put it together myself. Like, I don't know how I did it.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what you're like, is that where your chaos magic?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I don't I don't know. People tell me they like me in things. I'm like, really? Cool.
Oh my God, Pat, you're just the best. Of course people like you. You're one of the most well-liked people I know that maybe gives back the least amount. So by that, I mean, I'm very high energy. And because you're shyer, it's like you're quieter than I am, right? Like, especially in social situations, you're quieter than I am. But I'm like, oh my God, Pat's the best. But if someone was looking, it'd be like, who is Alana talking at while he just absorbs the information? Like, that's what it would look like from afar. But you are chatting. It's just you're like shyer, right? So it's like you're a little quieter or whatever. Yeah. But that could be a lot. I don't know if you find this. Is that from some of your upbringing?
Definitely. Yeah. I didn't want to be heard from. I was too loud.
Okay.
I was in the way. Like, I walk too loud. I talk too loud. I eat too loud. Like, every way to say, get away from me.
Yeah. That's and of course you're going to take that with you in life. Like, of course you are, because it's like, that's like, you know, very dismissive, abusive behavior. It truly is. There's like no other way to say it. And it's like, I will say though, Pat, like, for someone who can be shy at times, you've really overcome like all of those obstacles, because when you're on stage, you are the most outgoing, comfortable person. So it seems. So I don't know. Are you actually feeling that? Because that's what we're seeing when you're on stage.
Yeah, I think so. It's just being on stage is more comfortable. It's just I'm a different guy on there.
Oh, a different guy. Okay, that's fair. I mean, that's it's you're very, like, in small group settings, you're the same. You pop off. It's as if you're on stage. Like, how many conversations have you and I had where we're like howling? I mean, this conversation, we were literally screaming for the first 10 minutes about your potential availability for a vocal. I'm not gonna get over that. And especially because it's like we're in the middle of a pandemic. Literally name one thing that would stop you from answering your phone. Okay, Alana, shelve it. Oh my God.
We'll
that's
just
kill
see
me.
What happens.
Let's just see what goes.
We're just
down.
Gonna see what happens.
Oh my God. I don't even remember. Oh yeah, small group setting, you pop off. And I have a lot of that.
Yeah.
I have a lot of that too sometimes, where it's like a bit of a pressure to be the person you are on stage all the time.
Right.
And that's like really annoying. Because you're like, are you the teacher and you're going to walk around and teach me algebra at 9 at night at a bar? Is this what we're doing now? We all have to be this thing all the time. Is that what it is? Like, I don't think people get that it's work. I'm like, no, this is my job. So I go, I'm loud. I'm, you know, same with you. Your stand-up show's on set. You know, they're asking us to be louder as opposed to earlier in life for you now. They're like, speak up. Let's hear it. Let's do it. Go, Pat. Do another one, right? They're going crazy for it. And, but I'm like, it is a job. It's a job. And when I'm done that job, sometimes it's nice to just be done the performing and be done with it.
Do you feel a pressure to be like that all the time? Because I it seems like there's naturally, it's naturally more blurred for you that who you're on stage is a little more who you are in person than for me, for sure.
Yeah.
But like when we would go and pitch stuff, like I knew that I would just count on you because you're just funny in life.
Oh, excuse you.
I'm quiet and I'll step up and make jokes in a pitch meeting or whatever, but the energy's already there when you're there. That's great.
One, I appreciate that. Two, it's a bit of a my gift is my curse. Here's why. It causes me a lot of trouble sleeping. I have a hard time calming down because I get very quiet and serious sometimes, but it is natural, that energy and everything like that. But I do feel pressured to be consistent with it. And I think because I do have such severe mood swings, more under control now, but if I let the chemicals run wild themselves, certainly out of control. If we weren't pumping this pharmacy in the old veins here, I'll tell you what, we'd be getting a different podcast. It'd be called Who Are You and What's My Problem? Which is a great name for a podcast. And if anyone wants to take that name, you go nuts. That is yours. And have us on as a guest. We'd love to be there. We really would. but yeah, I definitely, there's like, you know, to be that all the time, to be that consistent. But like when we were in those pitch meetings, like I get off on that shit. It's a game to me. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's fun, but that's still kind of work. You know what I mean? It's like,
that's work. Yeah.
It's work. And it's hard to like, even in friendship, cause I don't know what a lot of your other friendships are like. I obviously ours is great. And I know with your wife, it's fantastic. So I was at your guys' house a bunch back in the day when we could do that. And, but like I find with friends or whatever, sometimes it's hard to, be the cheer up person because then I feel a little more embarrassed when I'm the one with the problem. And I feel like I'm maybe letting people down or burdening them because if they're not used to that part of me. And that, for the friends listening, you've never said that to me. Just a heads up, no one ever, ever said that to me. But I think I feel it because I put out one thing 80% of the time and then that other 20%.
Right.
I think I feel a little ashamed about it. Like, I don't know. Do you have anything like that? Or like, I mean, what's it like for you in those friendships and stuff?
I don't know. I don't, I would say that I don't, I feel like I don't lean on my friends very much for emotional support. I think that's been my wife's job for a long time now.
Mm-hmm. Bless your wife's the best. Your wife's, I mean, she's just amazing. Bless her.
Yeah. I have a lot of, friends where I'm the person that you're talking about, where I have to like take care of them and worry about them and whatever, but I don't go back to them with my problems. Generally.
Yeah. It's really hard. It's really hard to be like, to call someone and be like, I am feeling this way. And like this pandemic has really, like, I've really tried to push myself to try to do that more because I was having a problem for a while where I wasn't really texting or calling anybody back. Right. Because I was feeling terrible, right. Like everybody. It's a very stressful time to be alive. And I wasn't really good with correspondence, and naturally people will take it personally and think I'm upset with them or whatever. And it was hard because I had to have a very hard conversation to be like, I did not call you because I am feeling this. Like I had to explain it because otherwise it's just rude. It's just like, I'm just ghosting people or something like that, but I'm not. It's like I'm crippled with depression. So I can't call you back.
That's very familiar to me. I go through periods where I don't respond to people, or at least not fast, and they get easily offended. But it really has nothing to do with them ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's like this morning when I texted you, "How are your teeth?" and you didn't write me back. I thought, okay, that's weird. And now I'm hearing one's broken out of nowhere on air like this. Oh my god, it's mortifying. The turning to people is hard, and I applaud people that can do it because I see the help in it. I see like how comforting it can be to like get it all out or whatever, which I guess is like the point of therapy as well. But sometimes a therapist isn't enough because they're not actually in your life, and everyone else in your life is going, what is going on with you? Or why are you mad at me? Or what are you doing? So it's not enough that I believe in therapy, but it's not enough I just tell my therapist. It's like, these people deserve an explanation. My friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't know. And pardon me. Same with my family too, right? I mean, you know my family. We're tight. Thick as thieves.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard too because, you know, sometimes you're just not in the mood and you're like, I got nothing. I'm in a bad place here. I'm not gonna poison you guys with this.
I don't know if she's gonna do it, but Maggie was joking all day about popping in here and being like, oh, I thought it was a Malls cast.
Guys, that's my mom's name.
I thought you were talking to a mall in here.
Here's the thing too. You got to stop burdening Maggie with your problems because Lord knows my sister's already doing it. Can we give this woman a break, please? can she have a moment to breathe? I'm begging you. You're going to have to, listen, Pat, you're going to have to start turning to Norm. And honest to God, best of luck to you both with that one. I really don't know how that's going to pan out. I just don't see it. I don't see it working out well for anybody involved. No, Norm's great.
I don't see that working out.
Let me clear this up, guys. Norm's great. Do I think him and Pat are the right mix? No. Do I think Norm's a good mix to have to listen to me? Yes. If you ask him, yeah, he loves it. He really does. Okay. So here's another thing I wanted to ask you. So I know you're at a, I know you're at a five now, and your tooth and what have you. Previous to the pandemic though, where do you think your self-esteem, cause you were working a bunch, all this, you know, and then obviously can't do that as much anymore, but, you know, a lot of stuff going and projects and development and stuff like that. But was your self-esteem higher because career had influenced it? Was it higher because there wasn't as many world worries or didn't seem that way? Or was it lower because more career stuff was happening? Like, where were you before all this happened?
Well, oh, that's interesting. It was... I feel like a lot of the career stuff that's happening has been like slow and a lot of waiting and a lot of like, and a lot of the things like may pay off and may not pay off, but it doesn't have the, cause it's, I've been doing a lot of development for the last few years.
Yeah.
And it's like, it becomes a show or it doesn't become a show. And then like, and it doesn't feel the same as performing, which I already was feeling like I wasn't doing enough before the pandemic. And I already felt like when Larry was born, I started writing a lot of stuff that I never worked. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
it just yeah.
Like then we got locked up. Like I was like ready to go with my, because during the pandemic, I've been living off the residuals of my album. So I really feel the pressure to continue to put out albums.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
Because
of course.
It'll cycle down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if it's like my income, then so be it. So I, so yeah, a little grumpy when it shut down because it was like, oh, when am I gonna do this?
Yeah.
But before the pandemic, I was feeling, well, it's all been a crazy mix because, like I said, when with the baby and everything, it was wonderful. Everything's been wonderful. As far as like me being or like coming from an abusive place, like I said, I had an incident that I'm not going to get into in too many details in 2015 with my family where my parents sort of screwed me over.
Mm-hmm.
And it had taken me a long time, and I had to like make a lot of distance from them to feel like a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I had done all these things, and I like had my own life and my own career, and I felt like I'd built all this armor against like who I was, and that armor just fell away, and then I was just like a raw little boy again.
Oh God!
And it took, and I'm much better now, but it's still a journey, and it's taken a crazy amount of work through therapy and a lot of other stuff. It wasn't like, it was a real thing. It was a real thing, a real gut punch that really messed me up. And so it's wild because these are the things that you don't see when you see a career.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm always doing a lot of stuff, but as far as like, how am I feeling about myself? Often not wonderful. Yeah. But but you know, ultimately, like, I don't know. I have a great family. I have a great baby. I have a great everything. My life is very nice. I just have to teach myself to feel it more.
Yes. I will say this about, we like to keep things private on the podcast, guys. Get a life. Anyway, as if anybody's asking me any question ever. But having family stuff and whatever, I will say, Pat, you did a phenomenal job standing up for yourself. Because when people screw us in life, it's really hard to not even fight back like in a revenge way. It's really hard to go, I don't deserve this. This is not, I deserve better than this. And that's not fair that this is what how you've treated me or what you've done or like whatever. And I'm really proud of you for doing what you had to do to give yourself a second chance at family. And that's what you've done now with Maggie and Larry. It's like, and I think it's like, man, you can see the difference in you. I mean, it's wild. From when I came, saw you guys last when Maggie was pregnant, and then the next time I came home or whatever and met Larry, it's like you were completely two different people. You were far more present because you have this tiny little creature in your house that you're like, what's he doing now? You were like way more, but even more present in your conversation with me. Like you were all around just there. And I feel like it's because you created this like bubble of like, these are the things I want and need in my life, and I've got them, and they're here, and they live in this house, and then everything outside of it is what a wonderful bonus. Like residuals from your album, what a great bonus. Fantastic that there's money too, and like what have you. But it's like, that's the first thing I would say. And then the second thing I would say about with you being a father and how that's changed you creatively, like what you guys did, and I want you to tell everybody more about this because it's fantastic, and I don't know how much it got into the States or not, but everyone can check it out online. But your creativity, and Maggie too, shot up in such a different way than you've done before with the Larry looks. It's like it was such a different way of doing comedy. It was like, I mean, it was like a masterpiece. So tell everybody what that is so that they know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I got to give Maggie most of that credit. I was present for the planning conversations, and there was certainly brought creativity to it, but it was a real masterwork for her.
Yeah.
She made a bunch of costumes. We dressed our baby up for the first 100 days of the pandemic, from March 14th to June sometime. Every day we put him in a different costume, than just in like a famous person or someone from a TV show or something. And yeah, check it out. They're all online. Hashtag Larry Looks. You can find it. It was a really fun pandemic project to just try and get people through, and it got a lot of attention. It was really fun.
Yeah, it did. It got picked up by a bunch of papers. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the weirdest thing that happened was that I Googled the hashtag because I was looking for something, and then found like clips from the news in Winnipeg.
What?
Yeah, Larry had been on the news twice and nobody told us.
Wait, how did nobody tell you guys? And they just put your baby That's insane. Okay, so yes, so you guys did the Larry Lokes. Yes, I know Megan was making those costumes. That goes without saying. Crafty woman.
Yeah.
But it, both you guys pumped out some comedy because you were picking a lot of funny people for him to be. Like, you were picking really funny people, right? Like, that's why it was so good, because you could have picked anyone, but you guys were hitting it out of the park. What was one of my favorite ones? What was it? Was it Queen Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, Queen Elizabeth.
The Queen. Oh, man. You guys, your wig work.
Yeah.
My God. But, yeah, no, that was great. And that, I mean, fatherhood really has changed you for the better. And I know it's hard. I used to be a nanny, everybody. If you need me to raise your kids, please tweet at self-esteem party, hashtag the nanny. And I know people might confuse that with the show. Oh no, guys, we're talking about my nanny services. Okay. It's two different things completely. But, yeah, I will say you wear it well. I know it's hard. I know it's tiring and all that stuff, but it's like, man, you just seem so happy. Not today because you broke your tooth, but you just seem so happy in that dad's life. Today you...
I really am. I mean, it took us a long time to have Larry, and we were just so grateful. And but also, I worked at a daycare in my early 20s for a little while, and I had lots of little brothers and sisters, so I was just really comfortable with babies already. Mm-hmm. And then it was I don't know, it's been easy, you know. It's like, it's hard at times, it's certainly exhausting, but it's most of it feels easy.
Yeah, but he's also a happy baby. It's like, not everybody's a happy baby.
Oh, I know, it's not because we're good at it. Though I think we are good enough, but I think it's so much just the baby you get.
Yeah, like my dog who I hate. I get it. We're all in this together, guys, relating to one another the exact same way. Okay. Do you feel this might be a bit messed up, because I've been big in gratitude lately, and something I've been trying to practice with my therapist is trying to find some gratitude for a not so good situation because of something I was able to pull out of it and apply to my current life, right? So, for example, mm-hmm. and I don't know if any of this happened, like, I know you had some family stuff go down. I'm going to tell you guys a family story I had that go down in 2016 in a second. Very important story. But some family stuff goes down, but was there any part of you that, like, in a way, it's like a blessing that happened so that you could not make those mistakes with your own son, like that you could, like, right those wrongs. Yeah.
In a big, big way. I think that, I mean, the family situation is really complicated, but what it forced me to do, and I talk a lot with my therapist about this, is to think a lot about what kind of dad I wanted, and what kind of what is a dad is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And for years before I was a dad, which I think not enough people do that.
Yeah.
Or go through that, or approach that part of it awake. Like, for all of the things, like I mentioned a few times that I have a hard time being present. Mm-hmm. And that's so much less of a problem with being a dad.
Mm-hmm.
I am there for him. I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. And I'm much more, it's so much easier for me to, like, zone out or not be present in my own life or my own career or whatever. But when it comes to being a dad, I'm mostly there.
And it's
great. And I think it has a lot to do with sort of meditating on what I thought I deserved.
I completely agree. And here's the thing, that applies to career as well. It's like, if you believe you deserve success, then when that opportunity, like, comes along, you will enjoy it. You will be like, yes, I should be here. And as opposed to, like, what is it? imposter syndrome that I feel like a lot of people have, especially in the industry. But it's like, if you're like, no, I worked hard, I should be here, I whatever. And it's like, that's what you did. It's like, you were like, I was handed this kind of raw deal in life, but what is it? Make lemons out of lemonade. That's how they do it, guys. They've been saying it wrong this whole time. It starts with the juice and then it goes into the solid. Okay. And I'm going to clear that up. No, but in all honesty, it was like, you know, you took a bad situation and you made it really good, because you're not like, you're an exceptional dad. You're not just like a good dad. You're like you would choose your baby over your friends in a cool way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if someone was like, come out for a beer, and you'd be like, yeah, but what if my son does something cool while I'm gone? I'm going to see what he's up to. Like in a cool way.
In a cool way.
You know, if you just want to be fun and cool and everything like that, please do. Okay. This is my dramatic parent story of 2016. It's the onion fight of 2016. Here's what happened. Basically, my mom came to visit me. She invited herself right out of the gate. Let's clear that up. My mom invited herself to LA. She came here. When she came here, I had one onion. And then she said, I need more onions for all my cooking. I went, no, mom, we have the onion. This is the onion we will use. Anyways, cut to 1 hour later, I go to work and I get a picture of 10 onions on the counter. And she was like, got the onions. And I was like, I specifically said I didn't want the onions in the house. We got in a massive fight and she was like, I'm going to use all of them. And I went, it's not humanly possible. You're here for 4 days. There's no way you're going to use all those onions. Anyways, she uses all 10 onions and leaves the one that I had purchased when she went. That's my traumatic story. It's the worst thing that's ever happened to me, guys. It was the onion fight of 2016. And I too have made a huge turnaround and get no credit for it. She brought it up today.
Oh, that sucks.
She brought it up today. She was like, remember the onions, Atlanta? And I was like, why are we reminiscing about this? And just to give you guys the backstory, I freaked out because I had just come out of rehab for an eating disorder. And she was like, here are all the onions. And I mean like way more groceries than that to make all the rest of the food. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you bringing all this food in my house when I just told you I have like a specific game plan of how things have to go? That's the big onion fight of 2016. So, and Pat, you know my mom. You can picture how this went down.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Oh my God, I can't wait to tell her that.
I'm surprised you survived it.
Barely. So here's another question for you now. Is there any worry you have? Because, you know, we were talking about career and all that stuff. Is there any worry that you have that, like, coming out of this, you might not have it in you to write an album, or you don't think the same things are funny that you did before, or are you like, you know what, we still have to find joy, I'm going to find a way to make things funny? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like day to day in the sort of malaise of this for a year now. I don't every day feel hilarious.
Right. Okay.
You know, I wonder what's in the tank sometimes. And other times I feel okay. But yeah, there is a, everybody's got to be a little bit panicked about what happens on the end of this. Going to be funny? Is there going to be a place for me? Like, how, like, is everything going to be smaller? You know what I
mean?
That's
the big one. Is there going to be a place for me? I that one.
Yeah.
And I think that's all careers. That's, I mean, a lot of people lost their jobs, right?
That's all careers.
So it's like,
I know. Yeah.
Offices closed down. People are working from home, but a lot of those jobs are like, anything, you know, that involves like crowds or big groups and this and that. It's like all that, you got to be like, huh, are we still doing this? Like, you gotta ask yourself what's going down. But I'm feeling that too. I'm definitely you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried that I'm really rusty and that someone will book me for something based on knowing me from before, right? Like not an audition or anything current. They'll be like, oh yeah, Lana. And then I'll show up and they'll be like, what happened to you? Like, and not just because I grew my hair out. which is what I'm getting.
I've done like four live shows since last March. Like actually live.
In person.
Maybe five things over Zoom or something. What, sir?
In person live, like everyone was there.
In person, like on a patio or one of Dan's River shows, like so, and they were brutal. They were brutal.
Yeah, dude. I mean, even this podcast, and I do it weekly, and like I'll say to Norm, he'll be like, "How did it go?" And I'll be like, "I don't even know what I was saying." Like I feel like I'm having fun talking, but I'm like, "Am I even making like points anymore? Am I even like, can I even maintain a conversation? Can I?" I don't know. The live thing.
Yeah,
too.
But even feeling like you can't have a conversation that's going to really relate to somebody at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is a good
point.
So
there's a value to it.
Yeah. No, there's a value to it,
even if someone's listening.
True.
Saying, this doesn't make sense, but I don't make sense.
Are you going to? Yeah, this is exactly how it's going to go down. But I don't make sense. Everyone's like, cool, man. Now, here's a question. So you wrote a bunch of Larry material, you said. Do you think you're going to do, when, say we're all vaccinated, comedy clubs are open, all this, okay? So say we're all back in person, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Are you going to do pandemic material? Because I'm not a stand-up, right? So my stuff's like characters and whatever, but it's like you're a stand-up. You also do character stuff, but you're a stand-up. Current topics is a big thing, but are you going to do pandemic material or are you just going to like keep it to neutral type stuff like your son and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw a tweet that I think about every day. That said, when we all get out of this, some comics are going to do their old material and some comics are going to do pandemic material and both will be tone deaf. And I was like, yeah.
No, you're right. No, that's true.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like I do have pandemic material that I do now on Zoom shows, but I wonder how long I'd do it on the other side. Like if I was performing at a comedy bar or somewhere, and I was like, we're back in the real world, but like, why would I do it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. My plan is to really focus on the new and improved me. So I'm just going to really come out there being like new me, new everything. Like I'm doing a reset. So almost as if the pandemic didn't happen, but it did. And we're in it. and that sucks for everybody involved. But no, I think I'm like, I've thought about doing pandemic material and, you know, whatever. Because quarantine material is a little different. Quarantine is just being stuck inside with like no one to chat with.
Right.
We were doing this stuff before. We were doing that stuff like depressed at home, whatever, right? I'm like, yeah, comics have covered that to the end. We've done all that. But I'm like, I don't know. I've thought about it and I'm like, I don't know if I can do it because I don't know if I want to keep reliving it. Like once, you know what I mean? We can get things sorted and obviously, you know, you're in Toronto, you and I are in two very different situations in terms of safety and what have you. And also in terms of how the vaccines are rolling out we've certainly sped things up here in LA because we had to, and we have a bigger population. So we had to start getting out.
It's impressive for what a disaster the United States looks like all the time. The vaccination rollout has been impressive.
It's the one thing.
Like, if I know, it's been truly impressive. Like, I saw today, my Andrew Johnston got vaccinated.
Oh my God. Wow, he did?
Yeah. It was like, he's not a citizen or anything, right? So, like, it's so far down the list.
Yeah, I wonder. You know? Maybe like, he volunteered.
Like Maggie's a teacher, and she's like, she should be vaccinated already here, and it keeps getting like slid back when she's going to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
Like Canada, the rollout has been pathetic. But also like just a lot less cases. Like
I was about to say your numbers are also, I mean, yeah, your numbers are also like way better.
I know. And it's the, it's a crazy, I mean, that's obviously a crazy thing, the pandemic. Like how are you, like what's it been like for you? Have you just been like shut in the whole time?
Yeah. Cause
for us, like Megan went back to work a long time ago. So then you sort of get back to life a little bit, and then you forget how scary it is. And then you remember how scary it
is. Yeah. It's weird. I want both, but neither. I want to be out and working, but I don't. And I don't want to be, I want to be safe, but I don't want to be shut in anymore. And I'll tell you this. Norm and I are starting to read. I shouldn't speak for him. Shut up. Shut up, Elena. I'm doing it. Norm and I are losing our minds. And here's what's going on. Because I feel like everybody in the States, everyone everywhere, but is so over COVID, and I feel like we're the last ones left taking it seriously. I know that's not true because I have my own friend group is taking it seriously. You're taking it seriously. You know, my own friends and family are taking it seriously. But when I look out, and maybe it's just my neighborhood, I'm barely seeing any masks. I'm seeing people in restaurants, this, and this. And I'm like, I feel crazy now. Now I feel like the crazy one where I'm like, am I being... Mm-hmm. just too cautious and like so fear-based. And then I have to keep telling myself, no, Alana, no, you are supposed to be doing this, but I feel insane. And I'm very disconnected. Like I stopped seeing people in person ages ago and I have to get back to it. And I'm talking social distance outside. I stopped for like months, but I'm losing my mind. So I would say now I'm really struggling. It's really gotten to me because I feel very alone in it, in this world. I feel like, and I know I'm not, but starting to feel real lonely out here. It really is.
Yeah.
That's my big moment of truth on the podcast. Yeah. It's hard. It's like, I know it's like, I could truly burst into tears about it right now because I feel like I'm like, oh my God. Like, I feel like some of us are making all these sacrifices to protect everybody. And then other people just like, aren't. And you're like, oh my, like, I feel like I'm a superhero or something where I'm like, I have to save the world by myself, but that's not the truth.
The most frustrating thing about it for me is that there are going to be people who never took it seriously and never get it.
And they never get it.
And they're going to act like they were right the whole time and it was just a dumb hoax. And I want to kill them. I already want
to
kill them.
And they get to, they're in restaurants, like they're going out having the best time. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, and I'm like, it's only working out for you because I stayed home. Why? Why do you get to go? It really, you know what that is? It's the equivalent of this, of the, when there's a car accident with a drunk driver. And they're always the ones surviving. It's like, I can't even tell you growing up, I can 5 different accidents in my small town alone where it was drunk driver and they lived and the other people died. And that's what I feel like this is. That's what I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's getting wasted and having a blast. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm just, I mean, that's not true. Guys, I'm pounding the back. Let's get real. But I'm talking about metaphorically, of course. The goal is to not lie on this podcast. So I always have to come clean about a couple of little hiccups. But, you know, that's what we call them. Okay, Pat.
Yeah.
We're nearing the end. I promise I'd get you in bed by 8 p.m. We're nearing the end here. You started off as a 5 because of the tooth, we know. And I know when we hurt ourselves, we can feel a little dumb or silly or whatever. So it does take a self-esteem toll. As much as people don't, it does. You feel dumb. Like, you're like, I can't, how did I break a tooth? Like, you feel silly. You know what I mean? It's tough.
Yeah. I'm like, I got to get it fixed. It's a hole in my mouth.
Yeah. as it turns out, it is a hole in your mouth.
yeah.
But you started as a 5. How are you feeling now? Higher, lower, the exact same? What's going on? Where are you at now after this big, honest conversation?
I'm higher. I think it's been a pleasant conversation. I'm just feeling a little... Let me go 7 on this.
Woo! Excuse me. Stop the presses, guys. My God. I'll take it. Wow, that's sky high. I don't even know... What did I say I was? Fuck it. I'm a 7. Here's the thing. I'm just going to copy you. Because I feel... You know why I felt so good in this conversation? Because I really... Because you guys had harsher lockdown than we did. Like, we reopened too soon. Like, you guys reopened when there was barely any cases. The second more started, you guys shut right back down. Like, serious shutdown, right? So it's like, one, it's nice to talk to a friend that I know is, like, in the same position as me mentally, in the sense that I'm like, no, we're, like, for real locked in. We're like actually locked in. So it's nice to like relate with someone that's like on the same level or whatever. And listen, it makes me feel good to see my friend having like grown and flourished and like starting this new chapter of their life. And it's going so well. And that like, Pat, I've known you for years. I love you so much. And it's like, it's so nice that I'm like, oh my God, like, yes, he's come into it. This is exactly where you're supposed to be. And that's like really nice to see that for a friend, because it's, you know, such few good times we can grab onto now, you know, so that really tough. So it's just so nice to be able to be like, oh yeah, there's moments of joy in this, and we can still have like decent lives while caring about humanity and what's going on. So it's like, yeah, I'm copying you. I'm at a 7.
Well, I really appreciate that. That's really nice.
Okay, Pat, where can we, and we'll tag you too, but where can we find you online? Where can we find all your stuff and everything?
On Instagram, I'm Pat_Thornton, and on Twitter, I'm just Pat Thornton. And Thornton, for most people, has one more N than you think it does. Thornton.
You guys better believe I was going to spell it wrong. And don't forget the hashtag for the baby pics, guys. I really suggest you check it out. Hashtag Larry Looks. Check that out, because it's going to bring you so much joy. It really did, like, for all of us following it, and apparently Winnipeg. If you guys would like to follow the podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnson on Instagram and at Alana_Johnson on Twitter. And if you love this show so much that you want to show the world, please check out our merch on Tee Public. Just type in Self Esteem Party and you'll see my beautiful face pop up. So Pat, thanks so much for joining me. Don't hang up so we can gossip a bit. And we'll see all you guys next week. Bye.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body. Rock, rock, rock. It's the Self-Esteem Party.